Off to good. One day we'll see a better place. This
Assalamu alaikum. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, giving open testimonies but one God, alone is in the appointment to see no partners at sea. And giving open testimony to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, is his last servant and his messenger to whom the Quran was revealed for all of humankind. I greet you again. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. It was always a desire for the believers of Trenton to have our leader come and speak before us and to give us some insight as how we can better ourselves in this particular area. We never look for him to come to solve a problem. We never look for him to come to help us get money or anything like that. We simply wanted him to come to give us information of how we can do those things. I always jokingly say to imams, and I've said it since, I guess about 1981, or something like that, I made a statement, and I'm a little wild sometimes when I make statements. We're at a meeting at Temple University, and everyone had a chance to speak, and it got to me, and I got up, and in my own way, I said, Trenton represents a great place in the history of America. Most people are unaware that Trenton was one of the first capitals of this United States. And most people are aware, though, that it was the Battle of Trenton that turned around the Revolutionary War. And Jersey was one of the states that tried to succeed to the South. So I made a statement. I said, since it was Trenton that was the first, one of the first capitals, it was Trenton where the battle was won that turned around the Revolutionary War. The War of Islam will be won when the Battle of Trenton has begun. Now, I don't really call it a battle, but it's a significant happening. And at this stage, I would say the battle of Islam in this country has been won. This is from our standpoint, because the significance of history has happened here, and it's still happening here, in that we have a large gathering of Muslims and non-Muslims who have come to hear the teacher, the leader of today, not just for us, but the leader of the day for the whole of the world when people get to understand and see his whole picture. He does it humbly, and he does it with the sincere intent of trying to help everyone become better than what they are. And we're thankful for that. Because when you understand, he told us something last week. He said, we can't follow a faithful leader until we first have faith in ourselves. So in order to follow him, we first must have faith in ourselves. And in speaking to the leaders, he said this: look for the positive in people. Look for the good in people first. When you do that, it builds them up in themselves, who they are. And then they're able to stand up and deal with the problems that they may encounter in life. But if you constantly dwell on the negative, they themselves become psychologically deficient. And we want to make people strong. We'll make people do the best they can. So I'm thankful today that we have our leader before us. I'm thankful that you saw fit to come out here and be with us and help us celebrate this day. We pray this is the first of many days to come, and we pray that it grows bigger and bigger. I can tell you this, it has made an impact in Trenton, though you may not see it. And the impact, inshallah, no, mashallah, it is his will, is going to be even greater after you leave here. And we're praying that as you go back to your homes, as you go back to the cities you come from, you're invigorated, you're stimulated, and that you go back and do the work as you as an individual can do in a community setting, recognizing and respecting the leadership that you have before you in your people wherever you're at, that also recognize and respect and work for the leadership that's standing here that we're going to hear shortly. When you do that as followers and truly become students and followers and truly support what you're supposed to support in the manner you're supposed to support, and you know how to do it. I don't have to tell you how to, but you know how to do that. When you do that and leave all that back and look forward, take the negative, throw it away, put the positive in front, be as you're supposed to be as African-American people, as human beings who understand that the world is right before us, the doors open up. When you do that, you will see your cities flourish. You will see your cities grow. And we want duplicates as best we can of this man right here. He's special to us. But we can't duplicate. We want to be a duplicate as best we can as to who he is and see that being in our cities. So don't be afraid to stand up. This is our day. Don't be afraid to speak out. This is our day. And when you stand up and speak out and stand out following the leadership of Imam Waterford D. Muhammad. So I present to you this day our leader, Imam Waterford D. Muhammad. Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. We give the greetings of peace, as we say in Islam, Assalamu alaikum. And being this is the month that Mr. Quran was revealed to the model human being for us and any, as God says in our holy book, model human being for any who believes in God and the last day. Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be prayers and the peace. So we wish you in this blessed month a blessed Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak. And I'm sure that we will be in different places celebrating the Eid, so I also wish you all a blessed and happy Eid. And if it is a blessed Eid, it will be a happy Eid. Praise be to Allah. I'm happy to be back in this area and to meet with you all in this town and hosted by our Imam, a wonderful leader providing real leadership for us all here in Trenton, Imam Abdul Wali Ali. We thank Allah for such leaders who will give more than what you ask of them. Sometimes we don't need much from each other, but we need a lot from each other if we are going to establish the community or society of Islam or Muslims in America. We need a lot from all of us, a lot from all of us. And I'm often telling my associates who are working with me in Markham and in the area of town, suburban areas of Chicago, my hometown, I'm often telling them that if I was working for just myself, you wouldn't see me, and I wouldn't be known. I'm working for the interest, for the cause, for the interest. I said, every one of us that's working in these offices, I say, we should know that we are working for the interest, for the cause. And the interest is always above each and every one of us as individuals. The interest is bigger than all of us. So I tell them, don't buddy up with each other. Buddy up with the interest. And then you're helping everybody, and you're everybody's buddy in this community. Praise be to Allah. And that brings me to the idea that I want to begin with for this presentation here. We are together in bigger ways than we think with Christians and Jews and some others, not just Christians and Jews and some others, because Allah mentioned another group in the Bible, in the Quran, pardon me, that I thought were non-existent. I thought they were extinct. And they are called the Sabians. Sabians. Sava. And Kura. And the Sabians. They are still existing. Their religious group is still existing and practicing their way on earth today. Really, we are told to recognize, I give you the words of Quran, any who believe in God and the last day, any who believes in the Creator, a real God, they can't believe in their God that they made with their ideas or with their minds or with their hands. It has to be the real God, the Creator of the heavens and earth. If they believe in that Creator that caused all to be in the skies and in the earth, including our own existence, and they believe in the last day, meaning they believe they have to answer to Him for how they live this life, then we should embrace them as believers. They are not kafirs, they are believers. We share with them the idea, the people of the book I'm speaking specifically of now, those people that are called in our holy book, the people of the book, meaning Jews and Christians. We share with them the idea that all of this world, material scheme, skies and earth, is not the creation of any or the doings of any but one God. Where we go from there may cause us to verge away from each other, to depart from each other. Where we go from there may establish a different house for one another. Different house for them, different house for us. But we start in that one place, agreeing there, and that's the beginning of the world and man, according to God. God doesn't tell us in the Quran how the creation, the skies, the sun, the moon, and all these things came into being, or how He made them, or how He created them. The beginning of our knowledge or introduction that we get from God that introduces His works, the creation, the worlds, to us, began with God focusing on man. The first verses, communication that came to Muhammad the Prophet, said, Muhammad, read. So the attention is on a man, Muhammad. And God wants to teach this man to read. It's not an ordinary reading. It's read God's communication to mankind, to you, for mankind, and my communication to mankind. It says, read. Muhammad, don't read. And He said, read in the name of your Lord who created. Iqra bismi rabbuka alladhi khalaq. Then He told him something about the God who created. Khalaq al-insana. This ain't created the sky. He's just talking to him. And He's not telling him He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and created the earth, and the water, and the wind, and the rubble. Khalaq al-insana. He created a human being. Min alaq, from a small clot of congealed blood, the clot. Then He told him, read again, told him again, read. Iqra, He said. And He tells him some more about God. Wa rabbuka al-akram, and your Lord is most generous, the translation is gives. And your Lord is most generous. But your Lord is also the one to be respected above all. Akram. It's not only generous, also honorable, deserving, respect above all. To be honored, to be respected above all. Wa rabbuka al-akramu alladhi Allam al-insana, the one who taught the human beings, ma lam ya'lam, what he was not knowing before. So God is communicating for the whole of mankind through his special servant and messenger that he has taken from the world, who he took from the world that without any spot or blemish in his character. He chose a man, Muhammad, who had no spot or blemish in his character, who had lived 40 years without being pointed to as a person that had a bad character. The most honorable in character that the people knew in his land, the land that is now called Arabia, the most honorable one. His name that he was given by the people, not by God, by the people, was the Truthful. And another name they gave him, title names that they gave Muhammad the Prophet, common name. They wouldn't say, "Oh, Muhammad." Those people who didn't know him, was not close to him or anything, they knew of his character. His character was well known in the whole tribe of Quraysh, the biggest tribe and the most respected tribe of the Arabs. Well known, he was well known. And they would say to him, "Ya Amin, Ya Amin, oh trustworthy one. Yes, Sadiq, oh the one who never lies." So here is a man that God picked from the people who lived a life of idolaters, except from a few among them who didn't do that. And Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be on him, was among the few that didn't worship the idols, didn't do those things, didn't follow them in their culture, religious culture. So he continued to communicate with Muhammad. He said, "Your Lord is most generous, to be respected above all things, who taught the humans, mankind, what they were not before knowing." Now these are the first verses communicated to Muhammad from God, focusing on a man for the future good of all men, or all mankind, women and men, the human society on this planet Earth. A learned and highly respected teacher who has passed now, but he may be established as the leading teacher for Islamic reawakening. It's Muslims reawakening in our time, in this modern time. Maulana Abul Ala Maududi of Pakistan. He said to us on Mount Arafat, when we were making the Hajj there, on Mount Arafat we were gathered, he said to us, maybe I should tell you what he said to them first, about us here. He said, "We will make a mistake if we try to lead the Muslims of America." He said, "We should leave them alone and just assist them the best way we can. But let them lead. So we should not try to lead them." That's what Maulana Maududi said. And let me tell you what my father said. "Don't follow them." I didn't say I said that now. My father said, "Don't follow them." And I'm not agreeing with my father, and I'm not agreeing with Maulana Maududi, but I am acknowledging a real concern that both of them were addressing when they said what they said. Yes, because I want our leadership to be like the leadership of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him. I wanted to have in it different colors so they know that we are following his way. So we can't have all blacks in our leadership. We have to have black, brown, yellow, red, and even white. Even white. In our leadership. Praise be to Allah. Continuing with this point in the opening of my address. Now, so what I've said is unlike the Bible that begins, well, for those average person, the common person, when we read Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, we think it begins with the creation of the world. And really the moon comes before the sun in the creation. In Genesis, God creates the moon, puts the moon in the heavens before he puts the sun up. And one thing for sure, in Islam, the day starts with the night, not with the sunrise. It starts with the night, the day. When we fast, we observe the moon, and we begin our fasting from the time we observe the moon, whether it's in the day or in the night, because we know a new crescent can appear in the day too. But whether it's in the day or in the night, we begin. But actually, we do think of ourselves really starting our fast, making our intention on the night, in the night, when we know that the Ramadan. We make our intention in the night, and we begin right then fasting. Because fasting in Ramadan, we know it's a fast from that the flesh needs. We say the carnal body. With that the flesh needs. But it's not only that. It's a fast from that the spirit needs as well. That's why we are reading the Quran. We are staying in the Quran as often as we can. We're reading so much of the Quran all the time. That's the discipline of Quran, of the Ramadan, daily life in the Ramadan. And we are also told to stay away from things that will take us out of our peaceful spiritual state. So you don't want to engage somebody in an argument. Say, if someone annoys you, say, tell them, I'm fasting. I mean, I'm not going to respond to you. You're picking at me. You want me to pull me into an argument, but I'm not going to do it. I'm fasting. So it's a discipline for our whole life, not just for the physical body. But it's extremely important for us to know that the spiritual body affects the body, the material body, the mortal life affects the spiritual life. And the spiritual life affects the mortal life, and the spiritual life came here like God wanted it to come here. And once we woke up in a material body, the trouble started. So we have to know that the discipline for the physical body is most important, because if the house is peaceful, the spirit dwelling in it can have peace. You see? Yeah. Okay. So, continuing now, the focus is on the human being, not like Genesis, and God made the heavens and the earth, and he put a sun in the sky, a moon in the sky, and he put a sun in the sky, and he made the oceans, and he put all these things. So first it's telling us about the outer world, whereas the Quran, the first words of revelation that came to Muhammad, addressed a man without spot or blemish, that had lived a spotless life, a life perfectly acceptable to God as a human being. Even before any religion came to him, he was not Christian, he was not Jewish, he had not been taught by any of them, no religious teachers ever tutored him or anything. He didn't know about the Bible, scriptures and all that stuff. He didn't know about that, all those things. He didn't know about that. He was not a Jew or a member of the Jewish society or anyone privileged to have to be exposed to their way of life. So here's a man that had lived among idol worshippers, but had kept the human life that God created him with when God made him a human being from his mother and from his father. Isn't that wonderful? And if you don't think this have connection with previous scriptures, you're missing the boat. The scriptures tell us that such a one would be given to the world, to lead the world. All right, you might say, as a Christian, you might say, well, that was Jesus Christ. I'm through with it now. I'm going to get back on my topic. So God focused the human being. And if we want to understand the world, first understand your own self. Because the world to a rooster is not a world to me. The world to an elephant is not the world to me, to an ant, any creature, any other living creature. The world to those living creatures is not the world to me. I don't want to perceive the world and relate to the world the way they do. I'm a human being. I need to perceive the world and relate to it as a human person. And if I don't even know myself, then first I have to know myself in order to know how I am to relate to the outer world or to the external world. And that's where God goes for the last revelation. Goes right to man, focus on man. And what does he say? How does he tell Muhammad how that all began? He told him from a cloth of congealed blood. All people made like that. But he didn't leave him just right there. He also went where the Bible went to. The Bible eventually got to man. But it went to the creation first, and then it got to man. And on the sixth day, the last day, talks about man. And on the seventh day, everything rested. Rested. That's the Genesis, the Bible. Whereas in the Quran, God focused on man, on a selected man, a special man, that have kept his original excellence and have not had revelation from God or help from Scripture. See that? I wish I could go a little more with you all in the wrong, but I'd have to digress. I'm going to stay right with my talk. I'm going to stay right with my topic, I guess, because you don't have too much time. I know when it's time to eat, I'm going to stop. But long before then, because I have to be on a plane, and inshallah, I'll take my plane with my little security guard with me. He's out there somewhere. He's 11 years old. Terrific little fella, and a great company. A great company for anybody. He's sociable. Sociable. Okay. Yes, yes. So he didn't leave Muhammad with that first picture of the beginning of mankind from a clock. Then he takes Muhammad to where Genesis goes on the sixth day, on the sixth period of phase in that progression. He says to Muhammad, gives revelation for all of us. And he said, God said to the angels, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. He didn't say we are making a Khalifa in the earth. He said to the angels, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. And when I have inspired him or given him of my spirit, make sense that to him. Make sense that to him. Submit to him. Make sense that to him. Now, he was talking to angels, but also there was a jinn among them who was performing in the role of the angel, the leading angel. He was leader of the angels. His name, according to our scripture, is Iblis. Iblis, who was a jinn. And how do we know he's a jinn? Because when Allah tells us in the Quran, and the jinn people, the jinn community, he made them of fire. Of fire. A fire that does not repent. Oh, I'm sorry. That ain't what it says. I'm sorry. It says a fire that gives off no smoke. No smoke. And he said also that Muhammad told us this of himself. I'm sorry. Allah didn't say that. Muhammad told us this of himself. Peace be upon him. He said, when they asked, do you also have a jinn? He said, yes. He said, but my jinn became Muslim. How wonderful. Yes. So that means all human beings have a jinn. And God has also assigned to us angels. Because God tells us these things. We don't have to question these things. If we're believers, we don't question what God tells us. So we know that God says he's assigned to each an angel. An angel to record and an angel to help you, to warn. Record, we're given each of us angels. And we also possess a jinn. So look, everything that God was speaking to, right immediately in the life of man, right? Angels and jinn. So when the jinn that was leading the angels refused to accept Allah's plan for man, that he's going to make him Khalifa, meaning that he's going to make him God, going to make man his responsible representative in the earth for the interest of human life and human future and the future of that life. That's what God is saying. And the angels heard that, they were disturbed, because their knowledge of human being was this, that you are free, you have free will, and because you have free will, the angels don't have free will, they only have Allah's will, God's will. So because we have free will, the angels worried, said they're going to be, they will create bloodshed. They will be killing and building.